Take your Bibles now, go to the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 23. We will be reading the first four verses this evening responsively. 2 Samuel chapter 23, we'll be reading verses 1 through 4. I'll read verse number 1. You'll join me on verse number 2 all the way through verse number 4. 2 Samuel chapter 23, Bible says in verse number 1, "Now these be the last words of David. David the son of Jesse said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain." And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you tonight, Lord, very grateful, Lord, for all that you've done for us. Lord, it is amazing just to sit back and think about our lives, Lord, and where they could have been, Lord, if it was not for your love, Lord, and for your grace. And Lord, tonight, as we sit here, Lord, with this truth that is about to be presented to us, Lord, may we not just look at it as another night in a church service, Lord, just out of habit. But Lord, may we listen to the truth tonight with the intent to learn, Lord, to gain something to make us better and become more fruitful for you in our lives. Lord, we ask that you would do this through us, and we ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated here in 2 Samuel 23. The Bible says that these are the last words of David. These are the last recorded words before he died. David was a lowly shepherd boy. He was the youngest of about, I think, 8 children or 9 children, at least those many boys. The age of 17, he probably at the age of 16, he was anointed as king, but he didn't take the throne. At the age of 17, he fought the giant Goliath and won. Now, I say that to say this: David didn't go to fight Goliath. David went to obey his daddy. He was taking some things to his brothers who were at war, and everybody was afraid of the big old goon Goliath, about 9 foot 9 inches tall. And he said, "Is somebody going to go out there and shut that goon up?" And they said, "Nobody can. He's a giant." He said, "God can." And he took his sling and a pocket full of rocks, and he took care of it in one shot. Amen. And God used him at the age of 17 to do that. Listen to this. He then waited 23 years to be king of Israel. David didn't take the throne until he was 40. 23 years, Saul chased him. 23 years, Saul tried to destroy him. Yet, according to 1 Samuel 13:14, Acts chapter 13, verse 22, God calls David the man after his own heart. David was used mightily to lead people. He led as the king of Israel. He led armies. He led men in battle. He led men all over the area. Matter of fact, even for a while, he led an army in the Philistine army. David was a great leader. To this day, at West Point, our Army Military Academy, they study the leadership of King David. They study the battles of King David. It may surprise you, but great leaders do not look to lead. They see a great need, and they step up to help fill that need. Let me say that again. Great leaders do not look to lead. They get pushed into it. They see a need and they get pushed into filling it. David was not trying to lead with Goliath. He just wanted somebody to shut him up because he was talking bad about his country and his God.
That's right.
I'm not afraid to say this. President Trump was not looking for leadership when he sought the presidency of the United States of America.
Right.
The United States press will tell you otherwise. President Trump wanted to make America great again.
Amen.
President Trump saw a need, had the ability to finance it. By the way, hasn't taken one penny of his salary as president of the United States. He gives it all away. Somebody who's looking for position doesn't do that. Just so you know. There are leaders who have led great amounts of people, but that does not mean that they were great leaders. Let me say that again. There are people who have led great amounts of people, but it does not make them a great leader. Some are evil leaders who are dictatorial and lead by force. This is not a great leader. Just because you can force people into following does not make you a great leader.
Right.
so much I want to say, but I'm going to keep on trail here. Others are in a position of power because they give people what they want. That's called a liberal. But this isn't great leadership either. Just because you can give somebody what they want so that they'll stay under your leadership does not make you a great leader. Let me show you. That's what the liberal politicians do. Let's give everybody welfare that's neither well nor fair, and then they'll vote for us because we'll make them dependent on the government. That's like a parent or a step-parent trying to buy a child's love and loyalty. They may not live with you, but I'll give you bigger things, nicer things than the parent you stay with so that you'll love me more than them. It's not a competition.
Sure.
It's not who they love more. You should love both.
Yes.
You see, David was a great leader by God's standard. And he was a great leader by man's standard. He was not perfect, but he was a great leader. I want to take a few principles, five or six things tonight. I'll be quick, but I want to share some of these principles with you tonight out of 2 Samuel chapter 23. First thing is this. Number one, a great leader must be filled with Bible truth. Take your Bible and look at verse number 2. The Spirit, capital S, of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. In other words, King David used the word of the Lord by which to lead. Can I tell you something? The Bible is God's words, not man's words. The Bible is God speaking to man. Great leaders follow a definite line of authority. Great leaders understand authority. Did you know great leaders don't step outside of the lines of authority? I'm going to make a statement here and I'll reference to it later as well. Look at how they're trying to trash the president, and that is not great leadership. When you are trying to destroy leadership because you don't like what they're doing, no law being broken. Hasn't been one law broken, just so you know. Not one. And yet, his intent was, now we're judging what we think somebody meant to do. If that's the case, everybody should be in jail. Because everybody's had bad intent at some point in time. Who are we to judge intent? That's God's job. So great leaders follow definite lines of authority, and the Bible is the most definite, credible line of authority that there is. I met recently with a candidate for becoming governor of the state of West Virginia, Mike Folk. Mike came to my office, and we met for a couple hours just a week or so ago. Mike Folk is our kind of guy. He's against all abortion. He's for life. He's for principle. He's for fiscal conservatism. He said, Pastor, he said, one of the good things about the governor of the state of West Virginia is a lot of people don't know this. He has line item veto power. He said, that means when the public school system brings me their budget, I can take their budget that includes money for, birth control is the best way to put it. He said, and I can put a line through it and say, you don't get that money. He said, by the way, that's one of the first things to go. He said, the young people need to be taught to say no, not have this. I said, I like you. And by the way, a man that has some conviction about him. You say, why? He said, God is the giver of life, and we shouldn't take it. I said, Mike, can I quote you on that? He said, I'd be happy for you to. He said, you can look it up. He said, it's already in my stuff. I said, that's good. And I have recommended him to other pastors. Matter of fact, he just met with a pastor friend of mine over in Huntington this week. And he'll be with others throughout the state. But may I say something? You can't get any better leadership than God. Did you know that great leaders don't step outside their line of authority and abuse their power? I'm going to make a statement here. When you start arguing with a police officer because you were only doing 5 miles over the speed limit and he stopped you, you're not following great leadership. If you broke the law, you broke the law. Everybody doing okay? That one hurt. That one went to meddling real fast, didn't it? Ouch! Oh, when you got the coon in the tree, stand there a while, amen. Joshua 1:8 says that the Bible is success, and no great leader can improve on the Bible.
That's right.
Folks, I'm here to tell you something. We don't need to rewrite the Bible. We need to re-obey it.
Amen.
Great leaders don't... The greater the leader, the more pure Bible they have. You're not a great leader if you're reading some perversion of the Bible.
That's right.
And I'm going to make a statement here. The Quran and the Muslim religion is not a peaceful religion.
That's right.
Well, there are peaceful Muslims. You know what a peaceful Muslim is? One that's financing the radical. Their own book says, kill the infidels. They describe who the infidels are. Anybody that believes other than Allah should be killed. That's what they deem an infidel. Don't believe what the press is trying to tell you. It is not a religion of peace. It is a struggle because of Abraham. Abraham disobeyed. He listened to Sarah, his wife, took Hagar, his wife's handmaid, had a physical relationship with her, and Ishmael was born. And Ishmael is the father of the Muslim religion. He was born before Isaac, but Isaac was the chosen by God, not Ishmael.
Right.
Isaac, it's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which is the leadership in the line of Israel. Ishmael is the father of the Muslim religion, the Ishmaelites. And we have conflict in the Middle East because Abraham disobeyed.
Right.
To this day, that's why they claim that Palestine should have equality in Israel. Well, we were there first. Ishmael was born first. He was born first, but he wasn't born of the right person.
Right.
Everybody doing okay? God uses his word. God used his word to create the universe. Can I tell you something? You can't improve on that book right there.
Amen.
And a great leader is going to use the principles of the word of God to lead with. A great leader uses biblical principle. By the way, I believe lost people can use Bible principle and be great leaders.
Yes.
It is the principle that is the issue, not the person. Number two, are you ready? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
All right, just want to make sure you're okay. Number two, great leaders need to be just. Look at verse number 3. The Bible says, the God of Israel said, the rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just. The word just there is the word justice. We need justice in America, not fairness.
Amen.
There is a difference between justness and fairness. Did you know life isn't fair? I know that's hard to believe. Did you know, though, that every human being in the United States is supposed to be given justice, though? Equality does not mean everybody is the same. It means everybody has the same opportunities. You have the same rights and protections of the Constitution of the United States of America. It doesn't mean everybody has to make the same amount of money and have the same standard of living. And it doesn't mean that a woman is supposed to compete with a man in a man's world, and a man's definitely not supposed to act like some woman. Mr. Folk was here and he saw our signs on our bathrooms that said you can only use that if it's of your birth gender. He started laughing. He said, "Preacher," I said, "well, I got to protect myself from the sodomites. And if some man walked into my lady's bathroom," I said, "four women are going to shoot him and kill him." And I said, "it may prevent his death." I said, if my women didn't shoot him when he came out, my men will definitely kill him." He just started laughing. He said, "I believe you." I said, "good." I'm not kidding. Justice is not opinion based. It's truth based. Justice is for all.
Amen.
That means, listen to this. Justice, the scales of justice are there, and the one holding the lady of justice, she's blindfolded. That means it's for everybody. Doesn't mean just for President Trump. It means Nancy Pelosi, Adam Schiff, and Jerry Nadler, too. Somebody sent me some little funny thing on my phone the other day. It has this little kid pray, and it says, "please help Nancy Pelosi to cross Hillary just one time." I thought that was funny. I think you have to be a little older to really appreciate that, but follow the trail of blood. You'll find out what I mean by that. Justice today seems to mean if you don't agree with me, then you need to be crucified. You should be punished of wrongdoing. Is that not what we've been told about the president? Now, this impeachment thing with the president is a clown show. In 2 hours, President Trump's lawyers yesterday could shut down the whole thing and everything could be voted on. They said everything in 2 hours. It took the other team 24 hours to say and say and say and say and say and say and say. It's pretty sad when soap operas have more people watching it than that. The Senate is to try the case that the House sent over, not start a new case. Don't believe what they're saying. "Well, it's not going to be fair because they're not going to call witnesses." The witnesses were to be called by the House, not the Senate. They're supposed to build the case, bring it to the Senate, let the Senate judge what they came up with, not bring new evidence in. That's what the Constitution says. That's justice. Where was the justice in the House when they didn't let the president's team bring witnesses in? They weren't even allowed to sit in on the hearings. Now, it's pretty sad when the managers from the House say the president must prove himself innocent.
Yes,
folks, that is communism.
Yes, it is.
Our country was based on innocent until proven guilty, not guilty till proven innocent.
Right.
And every one of those rascals needs to be put in jail for that kind of mess.
Amen.
You are innocent until proven guilty. I'd rather let somebody go that is guilty than convict somebody that's innocent. Get the facts straight before you punish.
Amen.
Boy, that's a good statement. Justice is rightness or lawfulness, not our opinion about what is right and wrong. The leader is not the law. The leader is the enforcer of the law. A police officer is not the law. He is there to enforce the law. He represents the law. He must enforce the law. And who are you to tell him you didn't break the law when you were doing 75 in a 70-mile-an-hour zone? Well, I was only five over. You're supposed to give me 10. Says who? Speed limit. That means maximum. Everybody doing okay? Getting quiet when I hit you where you live, doesn't it? A great leader doesn't make decisions outside of his area of authority. Did you know that the president is not trying to make decisions that the House is supposed to do or the Senate? He's just out making deals for America. Two of the greatest trade deals in the history of America have been made this year. The economy is booming. Biggest tax cut, middle class tax cut in the history of the United States. And by the way, he gets elected again, he's going to do it again, and this thing's going to come unscrewed. In 3 years, he's been able to charge up what the liberals have tore down for the last 30 years. 3 years. Just hang on. A great leader doesn't make decisions, though, outside of his area of authority. I'm going to make a statement here. Did you know, as pastor of this church, I'm supposed to lead our church, but Brother Scott, I'm not supposed to walk into your home and tell you how to lead your home. That's not my area of authority. Everybody doing okay? It's not my job. Now, if you want my advice, you'll come get it. Otherwise, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I don't live there. I don't know. You see, too many of us have an opinion about how somebody else should be running their home. Well, if those were my kids, okay, they're not, so why waste your time? Why are you so worried about everybody else's kids? How about you just take care of your own? Amen. Everybody doing all right? There's a reason God gives them to you when you're young. Because by the time you're old enough to know what you're going to go through, you'd have never had them. God's got to give them to you when you ain't got no sense. That's not good English, but it's good preaching. I've been told, Brother Fugit told me recently, he said, if I ever have to do this all over again, I'm going to come back and have grandkids and not have kids. I kind of believe that, you know? Great leaders need to be just. Then, a great leader is filled and yielded to the Holy Spirit. We read that in verse 2 as well. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. Can I tell you something? When you yield to the Holy Spirit of God, you become a greater leader. Amen. It allows a great leader to have access to God. I'll share a story with you. Brother Fugit shared this with me. He's been with the president several times. He has witnessed to the president. He said, Mr. President, I need to ask you a question. He said, what's that? He said, if you die today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? He said, man of God, let me tell you what I did. He said, when I started running for president, got into this thing and realized it's bigger than anything I've ever done, and I knew I needed God. He named the preacher that he got a hold of and said, this getting saved thing that Mr. Pence has told me about, he said, I need to make sure I am, because if I'm going to lead America and make it a great, I'm going to need God on my side. He said, run through this thing with me. That preacher led him through the gospel, and President Trump bowed his head and trusted Christ as his Savior. He did it knowing he needed God's help to lead this country. That's as close to from his own mouth as I can tell you. But may I say this, a great leader knows God is a better leader than any human being. The Holy Spirit can also cause others to follow who are yielding to the Holy Spirit. Being in tune with the Holy Spirit means this. If I'm leading in the Holy Spirit, you're following in the Spirit, guess what? We'll make a better team. Do you know if dad's in tune with the Holy Spirit, and mom's in tune with the Holy Spirit, and the kids are in tune with the Holy Spirit, guess what happens? Things at home go better. If we will lead in the Spirit and will follow in the Spirit, it's amazing what could be done. Boy, that's good stuff. The Holy Spirit brings God into your leading. He doesn't bring your flesh into leading. There are things I do as a leader of the pastor of this church that goes against my flesh. Do you know I like to drive fast too? But I don't do it. I keep the speed limit. It's been 30 years and 6-7 months since I've had a ticket. Say why? What kind of reputation would I have as a pastor if I'm getting speeding tickets all the time? If I'm breaking the law? Everybody doing okay? I decided that with my position comes responsibility to obey the law, even in my community. That goes against my flesh. My flesh wants to tromp that gas pedal and see what she'll do. I love that feel. Oh, yeah. Now, I might get 0-70 real quick, but we're going to back her off at that point in time. There are things I do as a leader that I don't always enjoy doing, but I'm not going to break the law. December 31st. Last hour of deer hunting. I watched a bunch of deer walking. Brother Josh, there was a 10-pointer right across the fence, about 175, 200 yards. Big old wide 10-pointer. Man, he was a stud. It's doe only. I looked through my scope and I locked my finger outside the trigger. I decided to put my gun down and look through my binos because I was tempted too much. My finger was starting to shake a little bit. I wanted that deer so bad. I'd seen him before. You had seen him before. He stuck his tongue out at you. Oh, my soul, that thing was big. I thought, I can pop him and nobody would know. Yes, sir. I let it walk. I let it walk. Say why? It's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. A couple years ago, I was turkey hunting. I had killed a giant gobbler. You can get 2 gobblers in spring season. 22-pound bird, big old 12-inch beard, just a stud. I was sitting on a fence row. About a week later, here came 3 more right over the fence together. Boom. Sat pitched right down in front of me, and I promise you they were as close as Joe and Leanne are to me right now. The trouble is, when they landed, they were all in a row like this. And I thought, well, if I pull up and shoot, I'm not going to hit just one, and I only got 1 more tag left. And I'm waiting, and they all walked in line like this the whole way. And I was like, and I had to let them walk away from me because if I had pulled the trigger, I'd have shot 2 or 3 of them, I promise you. They were just in such a line that I couldn't just shoot 1 of them. Say, what'd you do? I let them walk. Being right with God and being right with the law was more important than getting another turkey. Now, I was telling somebody else the story. I won't tell you who. They said, well, preacher, that's just called collateral damage. Tell him he's only aiming at 1. I can't do that. I'm not going to do that. I can't do that. The greater the leader, the more yielded to the Holy Spirit he must be. You don't have to be a better leader. By the way, you can't be a better leader than God. Number 4, I must hurry. A great leader needs a pleasant attitude. Look at verse number 4. And he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds. Have you ever gone out and enjoyed a sunrise? Now, some of you, that means you've got to get out of bed. All right? God doesn't turn a switch and everything turns on like that. All right? It comes up really slow. It's one of the most amazing things. Virtually every day of my life, I go out here and watch the sunrise. I've probably got 24 pictures on my phone of some of the most beautiful sunrises you've ever seen in your life. It's just God painting the picture. The one I got this morning was incredible. But may I say something? Great leaders have a pleasant attitude. There's something that's encouraging and pleasant about sunrise. People should want to follow, not be forced to follow.
Amen.
You know, if you have to beat on your chest and say, "I'm the leader, listen to me," you're probably not. Just because you have a position doesn't mean you're the leader. Let me use a statement I use often with preachers. People want led like sheep, not driven like cattle. Be a shepherd, not a cowboy. Big difference in a shepherd and a cowboy. Shepherd walks out front, cowboy drives from behind. People don't like being led that way. People like to be led, not driven. Great leaders make it enjoyable to follow them. By the way, I've been around great leaders in fundamentalism. I've been around Dr. Lee Robertson, been around Dr. Tom Malone, been around Dr. Joe Boyd, Dr. Jack Hiles, Dr. Curtis Hudson. I've been around Dr. Lester Roloff. I've been around some of the greatest leaders of Christianity in the last generations. Can I tell you something? Man, they're all great to be around. They were enjoyable. I mean fun. I was in Mexico with Brother Hiles one day, and we were down in Monterrey, Mexico. There was a group of preachers there preaching a conference, and I wasn't preaching. I just went along to be with them, and I was enjoying the trip. I was sitting beside Brother Hiles, Brother Mike, and I won't tell you who the preacher was that was preaching, but Brother Hiles, just as soon as the guy announced the scripture, Brother Hiles took his elbow and went like this to me. "Yes, sir." He said, "Brother so-and-so is going to preach my sermon." I said, "What?" He said, "Oh, yeah, he stole my sermon. Let me show you." He's got his conference Bible. He says, "Watch this, Brother Craig." He said, "Here he is right here." He said, "Let's see how close to my outline he sticks." Through the whole sermon, all he did was mock the guy while he was preaching just between him and I. He'd say, "Oh, he missed that one." See if he catches it back up. The whole time. I mean, word for word. I looked at the outline while the guy was preaching. I knew what the next statements were. The only thing he didn't say was, "When I was a paratrooper in World War II." That's about the only thing the guy didn't say. He was laughing about it. He said, "I don't preach that one anymore when he's around." He said, "I know he'll preach it." I said, "He doesn't do near as good." He said, "You better have said that." I always enjoyed being around him. Great leaders are enjoyable to follow. Great leaders can absorb blame and share the praise. Let me say that again. Great leaders can absorb the blame, but they share the praise. Listen to this statement. Dictators and weak leaders... want the praise and never accept the blame. I'll show you a weak leader when they're blaming everybody else but themselves. When it's the wife's fault, not yours. When it's the kid's fault, not yours. When it's somebody else's fault, not yours. You know, as a leader, sometimes you just have to accept the blame. And I've learned the more people I lead, the more blame I got to take. There's times I take the blame for things that I didn't even do, but because I'm a leader, I've got to accept the blame.
Yes.
So, well, it shouldn't be that way. That's what a leader does. That's what your job is. Boy, that's good stuff. A great leader can handle the tender things as well as do the battle. Look at verse number 4 again. Second half. As the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. The tender grass. Watch this. I need to fight the devil while being patient with people. I got to beat the devil out of the devil while I'm patient with people that are growing in the Lord. Everybody doing okay? Hang on. I need to guard doctrine while being gentle with my wife. I need to be able to fight the attackers while guarding and protecting your children without smashing them. I'm going to read what I wrote here. I need to kick the devil's backside while being gentle with troubled teenagers. Yes. You know, young people have a tough time. All of them. Doesn't matter how good, they're all going to have a tough time from time to time. Guess what? They need somebody that's willing to kick the snot out of the devil, but be patient with them while they're struggling. I need to manage the stress of work while not taking it out on my wife, kids, or my dog at home. Some of you, it was just a bad day, and everybody in the house is going to know it because it was a bad day. Why is it their fault you had a bad day? Why did you bring it home with you? You know, if you had a bad day, don't talk about it. Don't repeat it. If I have bad things happen, I don't go home and tell my wife all the bad things that happen. My wife is the last to find out anything that goes on that's bad. She finds out when everybody else finds out. You say, why? I'm going home to get encouraged, not pull her down into the mud where I've been at all day. Some of you are destroying your family because you want them to be as miserable as you are. Man, I don't go home to get miserable, I go home to get rid of the misery. Everybody doing okay? A great leader leaves work at work and he'll leave it in his car on the way home. That's what the drive home's for. There's been many a day I've driven the long way home just to get it out of my system. I've even stopped the car on the side of the road, opened up the door and told the devil, get out of here. I'm done with you. I'm going home. Say, what do? I go home and I enjoy life with my family. I'm not about to bring the stresses of work in. Well, it was just so stressful. And this happened. And this. Why do you want to talk about all that and stress everybody out at home? Is all you're doing is destroying your own leadership in their mind. Dad can't handle it. Aren't you supposed to be at work to handle stress? Sorry. Who said work wasn't going to be stressful? God said by the sweat of your brow. Yes. It's going to be stressful. Well, I wish that job didn't have any stress. It's called a casket. Number five, and I'll just fly through this one. Great leader needs to be distinct and direct in his instruction. Great leaders are distinct and direct in their instruction. If somebody does not understand, it's not their fault, it's mine. Be careful. And I work with a lot of people. There are people that expect you to know what they're thinking while they're talking to you. I'll get a text. They'll text me and I'm thinking, okay, they made a statement, but are they asking me a question and what in the world are they thinking about? And I'm trying to read between the lines, but there's not enough information on there. They know what they're thinking about, but nobody else does. And I'm thinking, okay, I'll wait till there's more information before I respond because I have no idea what they're talking about. Well, I know what I'm thinking. Okay, but tell somebody else. You expect me to know what you're looking at and thinking, and you never even told me, and you want the answer? It ain't gonna happen. Leadership leads and is very distinct in leadership. Very direct in leadership. You can't follow someone that doesn't know where they're going. Did you ever try to follow somebody that didn't know where they were at and didn't know how to get to where they're going? Oh boy, is that miserable. That's like following Adriana in her GPS. Over the river and through the woods. She knows it's going to get her there, but she doesn't know where it's going. Sorry, I had to say it. It was there to be had. Some of you men expect people to follow you, but you don't give any instruction for anybody to know how to follow you. You know what you're doing, but you've never instructed anybody else how to do it. Well, I told them one time when they were 6 years old. Okay, that was 37 years ago. Well, I told them once. Okay, not everybody understands what you understand about it. You may have to tell them over and over and over. Do you know how many times I announce an event here at church? 3 times a week for months. And do you know the day of the Valentine banquet, I'll get a half a dozen calls. What time's the banquet? Where's it at? Guarantee it. Happens every time. Yeah. For you, it starts at 4. Starts at 8. Good luck getting in. I'm serious. I can announce it every service for 3 months straight, and I'll get phone calls and texts. What time is it? What's the address? What's the name of the place? I've handed out flyers. I've announced it. We've gone through signing up for it. You've got menus with all that information on it, and you still will call me and say, what time is it? Say, does that frustrate you, preacher? No, I'm so used to it, I don't worry about it. But I know this, it's not because you have not been told. Guarantee it. Boy, that's good stuff, preacher. Amen! A great leader gives logical, simple, clear steps to every project. Do you know what a big project is? It's a series of little projects. Some of you are so overwhelmed with everything in your life because you see the whole picture instead of breaking it down into smaller sections. Break it down into smaller pieces. Do you know you eat how to eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Pick where you're going to start and just start eating. You're going to get it one bite at a time. You say, well, it's so big. Yeah, but you'll get there one bite at a time. It's no different. A big project is a series of little projects. Boy, that's good. A great leader does not let obstacles stop him. He either removes the obstacles or plans to go around them. Quit is not in my vocabulary. I don't have quit in me. I don't have this I can't attitude. Hoo-hoo. There's a few things in life that really bother me. Well, I just can't. Maybe it's because of my father. I don't know. But if you ever said, I can't, you found out you could. Real fast. You had motivation. I think you ought to cut the word can't and quit out of every book you have. An obstacle is just an opportunity to figure something else out. That's all it is. I don't let obstacles stop me. If I did, this building would not be here and the county people would be probably somewhere else. And I would be in jail. You say, why? I've learned not to let obstacles stop me. Sometimes it's slowing me down. Yes. I don't get there when I want. God knows that's the case. I wanted there yesterday. But may I say this, just because it's an obstacle doesn't mean that you have to give the whole thing up. Great leaders teach you how to get through or around those things. I've got to quit. All of us lead in some capacity. May we learn to lead more like the man after God's own heart. May we take the principles of 2 Samuel 23 and learn to lead in our homes and in our jobs and wherever we're at, maybe here in the ministries of the church. Let's lead the way God wants us to lead. Let's not lead like the world. Let's not lead like evil people. How about we lead like the world? Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. All of us lead. All of us have some form of leadership. If not, you will. How about we learn to lead like God wants us to lead?